Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Last week, we started talking about our Prime the Pump offering, and we're asking that you would just pray along with us where you might partner with God on this incredible adventure together. If you'd like to visit our website at christchurchohio.org, we've got lots of information about how the offering is going to be used this year. In addition to what we have posted, we have decided that 20% of what comes in for our Prime the Pump offering is going to go towards aid and relief for what's going on in Ukraine. We're going to partner with an organization that's Christian and has feet on the ground to help any way that we can. Dr. King said it the most incredible way. He said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And we want to work and fight and do the good that God has called us to do." So we ask that your heart would be open and that you'd pray along with us to see where God might do something incredible through you in this time. Let me say a prayer for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what a good and mighty God that you are. I thank you that we can trust in you. I thank you, Father, that even in the midst of all of the things going on, we can find well-being for our soul in relationship to you. I pray, Father, that you would connect us today to the glory of Jesus Christ. I pray that our hearts would turn towards you and you would direct us in the way that we should go. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. When I was a little girl, my family used to go tent camping, like legit, straight up, put a tent out in a campground somewhere, pack coolers with food, sleep in sleeping bags on the ground, cook over a fire in a little grill, like 100%. Tent camping. Now, eventually we got real fancy and upgraded to a pop-up camper where like the sides came out, it had like table, chairs, actual stove in there. But until then, every summer we'd pack up our tent, pack up our supplies, and go some different place in the summer and camp out for a week together. Now, we always knew if the weather got bad, then you can't really stay in a tent in bad weather. It's not the best shelter in the world, so we'd go do something together. Usually we'd go see a movie or go out to eat and kind of wait out the storm together. One year, a really bad storm came in, and so we went out to a restaurant, went and saw a movie, kind of waited for the storm to pass, and when it finally broke up, we went back to our campsite to find everything had blown away. Tent was gone, stuff was gone, it was kind of like scattered everywhere. So we all went about trying to like pick up all of our random stuff, sleeping bags, clothes, tent, like trying to put everything back together. Things got dirty, soaking wet. I'm pretty sure we slept in a hotel that night, but we pieced everything back together, got it all packed up, and that's kind of part of the adventure, right? Part of what you expect when you go camping in a tent. We knew it wasn't permanent. It wasn't forever. It was just a temporary place to sleep so we could visit different places and do different things with our temporary shelter. Now, we'd always pack up and go back to our permanent home because tents were great for a temporary time. They weren't great for forever. We got fun adventures out of them, but they're not really easy to live in for the long haul. Now, it's interesting because in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses this imagery of a tent to talk about our bodies. He calls them our earthly tents. And he says, while we need all the protection that a tent can offer, we all need our bodies, right, to do life and protect us through this world, they're not made to be permanent. Our eternal houses, our forever homes, don't reside here in our bodies, our earthly tents. Instead, he uses this imagery to help us think about the buildings that we have from God that aren't built by human hands but are made to last. Now, our bodies, this imagery, this tent that he uses, or he also, remember, used the idea of jars of clay. They aren't permanent. The treasure's not what the outside is. It's on the inside. We have these souls that are inside of us that were created for more than just this temporary time here on earth. Jesus taught about this idea of eternal life, and it's found in knowing God. And, you know, he talks about the idea that eternity is a way of measuring. It's thinking about it like a time period, a length of existence. And we always think about eternal life as something that's going to happen to us someday or something that's going to come along at some point that's far off, but right now, right? It's not something we have to really worry about right now. But Jesus taught about this idea of eternal life, where he called it the time of the ages, a quality that we can actually be at work at in our lives right now. Because the life of the ages isn't something that begins at some time. It begins now with who we are today. Because we know we have these, as Paul called them, our earthly tents, our bodies, but we're more than just a body. We are a soul and a body. And we have these souls that animate us, and our feelings, affections, desires, aversions all rest in our soul. Our soul is the essence of who we are that differs from our body, and it does not dissolve in death. Our bodies give way, but our souls carry on. And Jesus wanted to teach us that the lives we live right now, we're either nurturing and growing our souls, or we damage them over the long run. And what Jesus wants us to understand is that he cares for the quality and well-being of our souls, so that when we do depart from this life, when we do leave our earthly tents behind, we take with us that this soul that has been nurtured by Jesus Christ and sought joy in him, a soul that's been grown and developed that we carry with us into eternal life, into the time of the ages. When we pass from this life into the next, we don't suddenly become a different person. We don't suddenly, I know we have all these imageries of what it will look like in heaven and the robes and the angels singing and the roads paved with gold. Okay, we don't suddenly become different people. We become more of who we already are. We continue the trajectory that we are on today. And I know it's so easy to forget this concept in the day-to-day living. Life lulls us into the belief that we have forever. We have all the time in the world to accomplish all of the things that we want to get done. But Paul brings us back to this idea at the end of chapter 4 in his second letter to Corinthians. Listen to what he says. It's starting at verse 16. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now it's interesting because Paul begins this chapter and he ends it in the exact same way with these words: "We do not lose heart." He basically bookends everything he's talking about in this one section of his letter between the ideas of "we do not lose heart." He begins it with the idea of God's mercy. We don't lose heart because of the mercy God is at work. And then he ends it with this idea: we don't lose heart, we don't give up, we don't give in to the overwhelming exhaustion of life. Even when the world around us looks broken and not as it should be, we don't give up. Even when it seems our tents have been blown around and knocked down, we don't lose heart. Even when all the things we thought we knew become unknowns, we don't falter. And even when the foundations of life seem to be cracking, we don't give up. Look, Paul wasn't saying this in some like theoretical way. He lived it. He lived the hardship. He lived the trouble. He lived the worries for these churches that he was planting, and he was arrested and beaten up and driven out of town by angry people. He knew what it was to go through real problems in his life, in his ministry, and in the world. And he said, even when these expectations that we have about how things should be shatter around us, it doesn't shatter us. Even when it seems like hope is maybe dim and not as close as we saw, we don't give up. Why was he able to say we don't lose heart? Why was he able to put all of these ideas into this? Because he tells us what Christ is doing in us is greater than anything else. Even when the outside seems to be cracking and fading, there's something happening on the inside that's growing and being renewed day by day. I love how the message says it. Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Not a day goes by that we can't experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Not a day goes by that we don't have access to his overwhelming overwhelming love. Even when it feels like the outside is cracking, there's something possible on the inside that's growing and being renewed by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, we don't lose heart because we're so invested in what Christ is doing on the inside of us. That is greater than anything else. And then he brings us to this idea about the eternal weight of glory. He connects this idea of the glory of Jesus Christ and who he is. Glory to Jesus didn't come from recognition, praise, accolades. It came from sacrifice, service, and love. Christ had his own glory in heaven, beauty, splendor, wonder. He had it all. And yet, when he came to earth, he exchanged the glory of heaven, the richness, the splendor that he knew there, for the messy brokenness of living here on earth with us. Though he was rich beyond what we can understand, for our sakes he became poor. And in this exchange, he did it that we might become rich. He gave his life that we might live. He exchanged what was best in himself for what was messy in all of us. And while Christ was here, he spoke about God that we might know him better, and he did the work that God called him to do, and again and again and again, he pointed to God. Now, when I think about getting glory, when I think about all of the things that come along with glory, I think about being recognized and noticed and praised and everybody going, wow, isn't she amazing? But when Christ spoke of glory, he spoke of sacrifice. He spoke of giving himself away on our behalf. He didn't point people to himself. He pointed people to God. And we find that the glory of Jesus Christ is found in dignity, nobility, and love. And Christ's path to glory was marked by suffering. His glory wasn't power over other people or control. It was through service and giving his life away as a ransom for us. So Paul reminds us of this idea. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This idea, the eternal weight of glory. We have an eternal glory found in being with Jesus Christ. That becomes our hope for the future. That just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, one day we will be raised with him as well. That where he is, that's where we get to be. We have this hope for the future because we get to be with Jesus Christ. Because our trust is in him making things whole and reuniting us with all the love that we've lost here in this life. Now, this is a tension Paul wants us to feel, because in life, we feel like there's a lot of weights that we carry, right? The weight of responsibility. If you are doing anything, there's a responsibility to it, whether it's at work or being part of a family. You feel the weight of responsibility in getting it right. We have the weight of the fears that we carry, or disappointments, or the weight of our life choices. We have the weight of loss that we've experienced and hurt and sadness. We have the weight of expectations that other people have for us and we have for ourselves. We have the weight of pain and worry and anxiety and stress, and all of these weights, they add up and they feel heavy and undoable. And as we grow in life, we feel like we just keep piling up more weights upon us. But Paul says, as heavy as these things feel in our life, they're small compared to the weight of glory waiting for us. Now, again, none of us would look at the things that we've experienced in life and been like, that's small, it's no big deal, right? Normally, it's like huge, and it's big, and it's a huge part of who we are. Nobody looks at loss and says, no big deal, moving on, right? It affects us. It affects our well-being, and it's a heaviness in our heart that we carry with us. A lot of these weights, a lot of these losses, a lot of these momentary afflictions that Paul talks about become part of who we are and part of our story. And remember, Paul isn't saying this in like some hypothetical, theoretical way. It's lived experience he's been through. All of us can do a comparison. Paul tells us about the hard things that he's been through. They're not small. They're not drips in the bucket. And when we think about what we've been through, it becomes part of what we've picked up in life along the way, what's made our road and who we are and where we're going. They're part of us, but they are not the whole story. And we are reminded of Jesus Christ, whose road to glory was marked by sacrifice, pain, violence, and suffering. It was through loss that he gave. And this idea of sacrifice is so, so important in our life. Everything great in life requires sacrifice. At the heart of sacrifice is giving up something for the sake of something else. And there's parts of our life that this is easy to identify, right? If you ever bought a home before, you had to sacrifice to save and make choices so you had enough money to buy the home, but it was worth it because the home you got made up for the sacrifices that you had. If you've ever tried to be healthy, it requires sacrifice. You have to say no to some things so you can say yes to others, and it doesn't always feel easy. Being a good parent, if you have children, that requires sacrifice. When they were babies, you sacrificed a lot of sleep to take care of them. And as they get older, there's a lot of things that we sacrifice, our free time, to make sure that our kids are healthy and functioning and whole. Anybody who's ever been a great athlete, man, they sacrifice a ton so they can condition and strengthen their bodies to do the sport that they set out to do. It requires a ton of time, sacrifice, and effort. There's no great art without sacrifice. There's no great literature, no great music, no great businesses without sacrifice, without somebody saying, I'm going to give something up so I can invest this part into something else. And the same, in those ways, it feels obvious, but in other ways, it's just as necessary. There's no great life without sacrifice. There's no working through pain, struggle, loss without sacrifice. And many of us who have experienced things in life like unfairness, loss, pain, hurt, we somehow got stuck there. We got stuck and we haven't been able to move forward. Whatever happened, we've been dragging it along into everything else with us, and it feels heavy and burdensome, and it's now become the defining marker of our life. And unfortunately, there's no moving forward in healthy ways while we're stuck in some of these places. Many times, the greatest sacrifice we have to make is clinging to the past and what happened there so we can move forward into the future. In Christ, we understand that we have a better future waiting for all of us. But to get there, to move into that place, we have to give up the luggage we've been dragging around with us. We have to be able to let go of things from our past. There's nothing we can do to go back and change it. There's nothing we can do to go back in time and somehow make things different. We can't erase what happened. What is in the past is outside of our control. What we do have control over is who we are today, what's going on in our lives right now. And to move forward into our future in this life and in the next requires us to let go of certain things so we can move forward in different ways. And in Christ, we're reminded that there's still hope for the future. That yes, these things are real and they're part of our life and part of our story, but they're not the whole story. They're only a piece of it. And in Christ, we have this hope that he isn't finished yet, that there's still life to be lived and good to be found. But to get there, to experience that, to live that, we have to let go of this thing that we have, this tendency that drifts towards self-pity, and instead focus on our hope. Yes, life can be mean. It can be cruel. It can be hurtful. It can be hard. It can be unfair. But it can also be good. It can also be filled with joy and light and goodness. And many times to experience that requires us to see things in a different way, to let go of fear and replace it with courage, to give up hopelessness and fill it up with faith, to say, where is the excess, to let go of that, to find room for generosity. Paul's telling us, yes, there are weights we've picked up in our life and they're heavy, but there's also this future glory we have with Jesus Christ. And that's part of our story as well. That's part of our whole. And in Christ, we don't carry these weights we've picked up in life alone. We're able to lay them down at his feet and walk into the future with him. God has called each of us to this eternal glory with Jesus Christ. And he's at work in this life and in the next. He's the one that's going to restore us, confirm us, strengthen, and establish us. I love how the very smart Timothy Keller said this. He said, the biblical view of things is resurrection, not a future that's just a consolation for the life we never had, but a restoration of the life you always wanted. This means that every horrible thing that ever happened will not only be undone and repaired, but will in some way make the eventual joy and glory even greater. Everything sad is going to come untrue, and it will somehow be greater for having once been broken and lost. This is what Paul's reminding us. Yes, the road there might not be smooth. It may be marked with our own suffering, our own loss, our own weight, but we know where we're going. We know our destination and what's waiting for us when we get there. This eternal weight of glory in Jesus Christ. But the only way we experience this is to pay attention to where we look, where we fix our eyes. He says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Everything around us is temporary. It doesn't last forever. The clothes we wear today are one day either going to end up in the garbage in the rag bin or at a thrift store for somebody else to buy. Our homes don't get to be our homes forever. Even the landscape is constantly changing. Have you gone back to somewhere you haven't been in like 10, 15 years? Without fail, it always looks so much different. But Paul says we can fix our eyes. We can look at something that is eternal, which is Jesus Christ. And when we look to Jesus Christ by him, we see everything else. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a clumsy person. And when I take my eyes off of where I'm going, I trip and fall without fail. If you're a runner, you know this. If you look away, get distracted by what's around you, it slows you down. If you take your eyes off the finish line, right, you can get past. Or if you look down, you got to look where you're going, not down in front of you. The same true driving, right? If you only look immediately in front of you, you get displaced. You got to look out on the horizon to see where you're going. This is true in life. We can get so distracted by our surroundings that we forget what we are living for. We can take our eyes off of why it all matters and just coast through day after day. We look at the wrong things and we trip and we stumble and we fall. But Paul says, can I please remind you, you have another option. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get so focused on him that everything in our life flows through him. He becomes our leader. He becomes our guide. He becomes our direction for life. We do this because that's who Christ is. He's the one who came to set us free from all of these weights that hold us down. He's the one who showed up to carry what we can't carry on our own and release us from all the heaviness that life has laid on our shoulders. He came to hold us up and show us the way to go. And we're reminded we can trust him. We can follow him. We can build our lives around him. He won't let us down. He's eternal. And even when the things around us fade, he doesn't. Our faith in him gives us eyes to see how to live today and confidence for the future as well. Where are you looking in life? What are your eyes on? Is it distracting you from where your final destination is? Is it causing you to stumble and lose sight of where you're going? Have you looked to Jesus Christ lately at all? When you spend time with him and you remember who he is and what he says and what he does it give you the direction you need for life? I love Charles Swindoll said, Jesus Christ is where we focus our attention because he's gone before us in this marathon of faith. So many times we think we just got to sprint to the next, forgetting that life is a marathon and we got to pace ourselves from beginning to end. He says he's the origin of our life of faith and the one who will see us through to the end. As our perfect example, he looked beyond the suffering and shame of the cross, setting his hope on the joy that would be his when he sat down in glory at the right hand of the Father. Hope drew him onwards and upwards. Paul puts this all together and says, we don't lose heart because Christ has gone before us. He is the origin of our life of faith and our future life of glory. In him, we have this hope. Hope for today that keeps us moving forward, even when it seems like things are breaking and cracking and not as they should be. But also hope for tomorrow that draws us upward with him. And we need this reminder because life has a way of just being exhausting. And when we grow weary, when we get tired, when we feel like I'm going to give up, it's too hard, it's too much, we have this reminder of Jesus Christ. He's gone before us. He's prepared the way. He did not quit. Even when he looked death in the face, he did not give up and endured to the end. And he's on our side, the one who's gone before us and who cannot be defeated. Look, finishing isn't easy. No matter what you set out to do, finishing is hard. Whether it's a project or you're creating something or learning something or growing something or just life in general, finishing isn't easy. But we can't ever forget we have a mighty God who is on our side, and he wants to see us through to the end. When we look to him, we're reminded we're living for so much more than just today. We're made for so much more than just these temporary tents. We have eternal homes that we were made for. And this life, this time, is preparing us for all the rest. Everything we are experiencing in this time prepares us for what is ahead of us. Every thread that is woven into our lives today becomes the tapestry of the life that we were created for. And in Jesus Christ, it's beautiful and it's glorious. So can I remind you today, the same words that Paul gave us, we do not lose heart. We do not give up because we have waiting for us an eternal weight of glory in Jesus Christ. And the more we look to Christ to show us the way to go, the more we have faith, strength to continue in who we are today. Can I just encourage you to look to Jesus Christ one more time? Let him define you. Let him guide you. Let him show you the way to go. Dear Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray, Father, as we navigate our way through this time, these days, this period of life, you would be with us. I pray, Father, our eyes would look to Jesus Christ. I pray that everything we are experiencing, everything we are questioning, everything we are carrying, we would let Christ be the thing that we mark everything with. Help us, I pray. Give us the strength to continue. Give us the faith and the courage we need to continue to hope in you, even when things around us seem so frustrating. I pray, Father, that we would remember the eternal weight of glory you've created us for, and that in all things, you would be lifted high in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.